Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHP. It's Thursday, April 25th, 2024. It's NFL Draft Day right here on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Stephen St. John with my co-hosts today, Garrick Dieter and Anthony Sherman. Jake Katera is here. Garrick Dieter in the Nate Bucati seat. Anthony Sherman in his normal seat.
Good morning, Kansas City.
Let's go.
It's pretty early today. It's early. I don't know how you guys do it. Every day. I don't know.
We just do it.
Are there people listening right now?
Mm-hmm.
Are there people driving to work or what?
There's people watching. The first hours of streaming. We're streaming on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch.
They'll see the push-ups then.
X, all of it. Is that right?
50 push-ups every hour. Sherm, myself, and Iceman.
Are we streaming?
Yeah, we should be.
Are you in? 50 push-ups?
Whatever. Yeah, I'm no Marco. I can do some push-ups.
We've seen somebody fail the push-ups before.
I already have Marco, 50 in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got 50.
What'd you get up at, like 2? Get in the ice tub?
3, I did. I was in there for 8 minutes.
8 minutes.
It's a balmy 48 degrees.
In the rain?
That's not cold.
No, it wasn't too cold. I mean, it's cold.
It's cold enough for what you need it to be.
Right. You just, under 55 is where you need it to get benefits.
It doesn't need to be frozen solid.
It needs to be like 35.
It's great 35. And, you know, you do 3 to 5 minutes at 35 and wake you up. But you do 8 minutes at 48, you're feeling pretty good. Get the dopamine going.
I agree.
He's locked in. Look at him. He is locked in today.
Every morning, baby.
I don't listen to you guys this early in the morning. I don't think I'm ever really
driving around. I'm still sleeping.
I don't blame you.
It's about 6:30. I'm starting to wake up like right at this second. I got like my 4 alarm set.
What time do you normally get up?
I have alarm set at like 6, 6:08, 6:18, 6:22, something like that. And then
you have that many alarms?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a reason to get up, really. I don't have to be up until like 7, but...
Yeah, what I mean, like just... Maybe just 655? Snooze your one alarm. Or
I've got one and a backup.
I like to figure out what's going on Twitter real quick before I get up out of the day.
So, you need that many alarms to figure out what's going on Twitter?
I mean, buddy, you should...
Get on your phone when you're in bed, like you get...
Bro.
That's terrible for you.
Yeah, whatever. Everything's bad for you. Look how many alarms I have.
You know what? That's the truth. Everything is bad for
you. Really does. Why don't you just keep using the same alarm?
These are all different times.
I get that.
I understand that.
I have to wake up in stages. I'm not the kind of guy that just, you know, alarm goes off, get out of bed, go. I've got to, you know, think about it and work my way into it.
That's like what my alarms are for. It's like, all right, step one, step two, I'm starting to wake up.
There's nothing quite like the joy of hearing the alarm go off than looking at your phone and thinking, oh, I can lay down for 25 more minutes.
It gets me
25.
I almost did it today.
More precious minutes.
I almost did it today, man.
5 minutes can mean the world. You know,
5 minutes change your attitude in the morning for sure.
5 will turn into 30 real quick.
Well, that's right. You know, but then I've got to cut off where I know there's a certain time.
What time do you have to wake up?
Oh, geez. Sometimes I get up at 3:30. Sometimes I get up at 4. Sometimes I get up at 4:20. It just depends, you know. It depends on what kind of show we've got, how much stuff I did before, the night before, if I was able to stay up and watch all the games. It's a fluid situation, man. Sometimes I can't sleep. Sometimes I'm too excited. I was fired up today.
Northlander, eh?
My wife told me to shut up and go back to sleep. I said, I can't, woman. It's the draft. Let's go. And so.
You get that amped up about the first round?
No.
First round is kind of boring. It's way too long. Along with day.
I'm a big day two guy.
Day two's fun.
You know what?
Multiple rounds and like a lot of picks, and it's not the whole production of
that's
the
what
first
I hate.
Round.
I stopped watching the draft because of the production of
It's wonderful that the Chiefs pick number 32 because that means they won the championship, but it's also a long night for Chiefs fans because you're waiting.
Yeah.
And now the cool thing about it is, like, for instance, this year, you have a pretty good idea that they're looking wide receiver or offensive lineman, so you can sit there and have your list and follow the draft and check off the linemen and the wide receivers as they come along. And I do think that there's a strong chance that the Chiefs move up, and so you got to lock in and pay attention tonight because if a certain offensive lineman or a certain wide receiver starts to fall past 15, then it's on. Then it is on. Peter Schrager, who does have... I know that he irritates some people, but he's on NFL Network, and he talks a lot about the Chiefs. What are you smiling for? Are you one of those people?
Nah, I mean,
be honest. Don't lie.
His eyeliner is beautiful.
Okay, there you go. Well, that's unnecessary. But my point is, boy, how about that? Nate up at midnight last night arguing with people about Prince on social media. This guy claims that he's done with arguing with people on social media. No.
He loves it.
All over my time, him fighting with people about random things.
I saw his tweet agreeing with Kelsey on like something about Messi. I'm like, bro. Man,
right.
Nobody really cares.
He was trying to get some engagement from Kelsey.
I agree.
About the Messi thing.
Well,
he took a swing.
Jason Kelsey nailed it. Like, he was saying the exact same thing I was.
And he took Travis aside. But the point is, he was seeking engagement. The retweet, the trying, you know, hey, Kelsey.
He was.
He fanboyed.
Yeah. Well, he's what? There's nothing wrong with it. He knows what he is.
He's also cupping the balls of the MLS.
He's a gigantic attention whore. We know this. That's what he is. And he admits it. And he's looking to get some type, you know. And, boy, that was in his wheelhouse. All of a sudden, Kelsey's tweeting about Messi, and he's got to get involved.
Yeah, he probably could have done a whole segment on that one.
Oh,
just
he'd
that,
love it.
Just that one clip that
and then
they,
he went
they posted.
On to argue with people about Prince and other things. It just keeps popping up in my timeline. Okay, so listen here. Peter Schrager, he does have sources within the Chiefs. He follows the Chiefs quite a bit and usually puts out some good information. He finally released his final mock draft, and he's one of the mock drafts that I actually will pay attention to because he will put legwork in and call different executives and try to, you know, and talk to the people at the Senior Bowl and put some effort into there's a method to his madness, right? And he yesterday tweeted out that teams who I could see moving up tomorrow, and he listed the Chiefs as one of the teams most likely to move up in the draft. And so then today, with his final mock draft, he does have the Chiefs moving up all the way to number 19, trading with L.A. and getting Amarius Mims, the offensive tackle.
Georgia.
From Georgia. He's probably really good then.
What would you?
Well, he is really good then.
What would your reaction be if the Chiefs made a bold move to move up 13 spots to get the left tackle of the future?
It would be huge. I mean, whatever they think is necessary to get the guy that they want, they're going to do it. They did it with Pat, and they moved up, and look at the success he's had. Yes, it's awesome. It's awesome to have that last pick in the draft, but at the same time, like, if you wait and don't pick and get a guy... Now the cap hits less and all that other stuff. So it's like you kind of hit that position where do you take a guy too early if you get him at 32? Or is there enough guys still with first round grades on your board to take a 32? So that's the struggle they have to go through.
Yeah, I like to see action. I like to see creativity when it comes to the draft. I like the trades. I like when teams move around. It messes up everybody's mock draft. So I'm a big fan of teams moving. I want to see them move up and get a receiver. I want to see them get a receiver that they actually want. Somebody that's one of those top three guys. That'd be fun to watch.
Well, you're going to sell the bank?
I mean, sell your first round pick, sell your second round pick.
Is there a wide receiver that you like that might be available for them to trade up and get? I mean, look, we all love Marvin Harrison Jr., but that's not happening.
That'd be sweet.
It would be great. It would be great.
I like those kids from the Washington kids. I think they're really good. I really think that Ladd McConkey kid's pretty good, too.
See, that's who I like.
I think he's all right. I don't know if he could be a number one, but.
What do you like about him? The tremendous route running?
No, I mean, I think you just turn on the Georgia tape. Like, anytime I ever watched Georgia, he was the only receiver doing anything. Bama games, big games. I felt like I was the only guy I could ever watch or really ever see doing anything. Maybe it's that's just who my eyes went to, but every time I turned on the game, he was making plays. And when you're making plays at that level, that's going to translate over to the NFL. And I think what he did at the combine, the numbers he put up, I think it was impressive. I think it was a lot faster than everybody thought, a lot more athletic, and I think he'd fit well with what Coach Reed does and what the Chiefs need right now.
Dude, I'm with you. I think he would be a perfect fit. I'm so on him that I don't think they're going to draft him.
Yeah, I don't. I wonder if he would go in the first round before 32. That's what I feel like since his combine happened,
it's right around there. I've seen some where he slips to early in the second round.
Yeah, I've seen that too. I wonder why.
I just tweeted you this clip we could play. This is from CBS Sports, and this was Adam Schein. He was talking at a draft roundtable about the Chiefs pick at number 32 and potentially what the reaction would be if the Chiefs drafted Ladd McConkey, the wide receiver out of Georgia that Gary just talked about.
Ladd McConkey to the Chiefs.
It's not fair. It's going to happen, right?
And he's going to catch 100 balls. And he's going to have this unbelievable Puka Nacua kind of rookie season. And the Chiefs are going to find a way to win the Super Bowl, even though you're going to have people like me picking against them all the time in big spots. And I still can't believe that they won the Super Bowl against San Francisco. And San Francisco is a better team.
They had
Baltimore in Baltimore. And they had Buffalo in Buffalo. And if the Bills could have beat them then, when was it going to happen? And we're talking about the draft and teams making picks and all the optimism. And maybe it just doesn't matter. And maybe it's just Kansas City again. And it's inevitable. And they're going to take Ladd McConkey. Or they'll take the fastest guy in the draft. And they're signing Andy Reid. And it doesn't matter. Congrats to the Chiefs, I guess.
Wow.
Back to wrap up this Top Draft Preview Edition right after this.
I've seen enough people that oppose the Chiefs that say, please don't let Ladd McConkey end up with the Chiefs to lead me to believe that Ladd McConkey needs to be with the Chiefs. But also, our guy Pretty Ricky's back again. Remember the burner account that was making all these predictions about free agency?
Spot on.
And he was
guy.
Getting everything right.
Killing it.
And then all of a sudden, his Twitter account got shut down. And so people were speculating that Goodell or the NFL got in there because he was beating Schefter and beating all these NFL insiders to the punch. He's the one that he came out and said well before it happened that the Chiefs would sign Hollywood Brown after they traded L'Jarius Sneed. Yesterday, like 4 hours before it happened, he tweeted out that Amon-Ra St. Brown was going to sign that gigantic extension. So the speculation is he's an agent, he works for an agent. He's an NFL exec, but it's too much good stuff, right?
Yeah.
That he's in his
he knows too much.
His account keeps getting suspended.
What's his name?
Well, on here's Pretty Ricky.
Pretty Ricky.
But he tweeted out yesterday from his draft intel that the Chiefs are going left tackle in the first round. And that wouldn't be a big shock.
That's not a bad thing. It's not the sexy pick, but it's probably more of what they need than a receiver. I mean, I don't know. I think it sounds like Rashee Rice is going to be suspended for, like Sherm said, probably 4 to 6 games. So maybe that is a decision where that comes into play, where you want a receiver more early on to kind of get them in the swing of things. I don't know.
But if a receiver's so deep and you can get a guy that that's comparable to what you would get at number 32, you can get a guy at 64 because receiver's so deep. And left tackle's not as deep. Maybe you go get the left tackle, or that's you trade up and get the left tackle. And I was like, I've seen them, like a guy like Ricky Pearsall from Florida, available in the second round, who would be terrific as well.
I feel like they're more likely to move up in the second round than the first round to get a receiver.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, I feel like that's what they're going to do. I don't know.
What if McConkey falls into the second round and he's hanging around?
Right.
There?
That's something, I, you know.
Yeah.
Did you see Jeremiah's latest mock draft?
What is it, Jake? Certainly you did.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting because Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network, he also works for the Chargers on their broadcast.
He does the preseason games.
And it was kind of eye-opening to see him have the Los Angeles Chargers draft J.C. Latham at the fifth pick overall.
Okay.
Just kind of, you know, I don't think – it's not a guy that he has rated really high. So, I mean – look, teams are throwing stuff out there left and right. They're trying to throw teams off.
Oh, I thought you said something about the Chiefs that he.
No, I just.
Who does he have?
For the Chiefs?
Yeah.
He has Mitchell from Texas, the wide receiver.
J.D. Mitchell?
Yeah.
I didn't know Washington.
Yeah,
Washington
and this is fun to do, but like no one has any idea.
Right.
Do you know?
No.
Can you text somebody and find out?
Not a chance.
If you texted Veach and just said, hey, where are you leaning?
Yeah. He would laugh at me. Right? Well, I'd be like, yeah, I'm not giving you anything. How was that NASCAR race?
That's it?
That's it.
How was it?
No, I'm just saying, like, that's what he, like, it wouldn't, no. Funny thing is people think, like, the players have an idea. Now, Patrick might, but other than that.
He does.
I'm saying, other than that, no player has any idea what's going on.
Text Pat and see what he says.
What's funny is I'm looking at all the best available, and I clicked fullback, and it says no players are available for this position.
That's funny because we had Nagy on, and he said the fullback position is not dead.
I mean, but
I was looking at the draft. But a coach in the NFL said offensive coordinator.
Well, that's funny because they don't use a fullback, so maybe he's just making you feel good.
Nah. They're still out there.
Are they? There's not one guy on this draft list.
What about that kid from K-State, Ben Senna, the tight end who could also be an H-back?
Yeah, I don't think they would. I mean, he's good. Good player. I like him. I don't know if he's necessarily really a fullback. I think he's more of like a tight. You could use him as a fullback for sure, but I think he was more tight end in college for the most part.
Do you like him as a potential draft pick for the Chiefs?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, that's right.
Why not?
That's exactly right.
Another weapon.
Third round.
Big kid.
Sounds like
tough, hard nose.
Sounds like a waste of a pick.
He's actually a pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good player.
But you're saying as a fullback.
Well, no, they use him as an H-back a little bit. But
you could use him as that role.
He's a tight end. Ben Sinnott.
Very athletic tight end. Out of K-State.
He's on most people's top 10.
Yeah, I'm looking right here. 6'4", 250. You think he's going to be a fullback?
I didn't say that,
no,
buddy.
No, buddy.
He said he could use him in that role as well as tight end.
That's not going to work.
Is Blake Bell still under contract?
No.
So then he would be a perfect replacement for Blake.
Boom.
There you go.
Boom.
Nobody's replacing Blake, man.
Well, it's happened
multiple
times.
Are they going to draft a tight end this year? Is this the year that they finally... And I think Noah's going to get a bigger role next year.
They signed Irv Smith. So
I don't know. Maybe like something like that.
I like that signing.
Fifth Earth? Round, fifth, mm-hmm. sixth.
He's not better.
He's
not better than
round,
Noah.
Go get a guy.
I think Noah's going to have like 65 catches this year.
That's a lot of catches. Boy, oh boy.
I mean, he does a great job when he's out there.
What do you have last year?
He's on his last year of his contract, too.
I think, I bet you.
That would be an explosion in production.
Yeah, but he might be only hit.
You're all right.
What happened now?
He's
no, I
just throw that on the ground. Throw that on the ground.
What is this binder right here?
Don't ignore it. Just throw it on the ground.
I was talking to Susan this morning.
Worthless.
And I said, you know, Sherm and Gehrig are co-hosting with me. And she has a coworker that loves you guys and wants you on the show more. Her name's Michelle. So if Michelle's listening.
Hey, Michelle.
Here you go. Here's your show.
Hi, Michelle.
Right? And so Susan said, that should be fun. They'll be in there for 4 hours. I said, yeah, a lot of fun for Jake. We're going to figure out the first time when Gary's going to cuss because he's been on a run. And let it be known it was
21 minutes in.
Yeah. Before 6:30. First curse word.
If I get scared, something happens.
Hey. You know you were thinking it, right, Jake? Like, when's the first?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but I'm not worried. F-bombs or anything I'm really worried about. Sorry, Drake.
We'll get there later.
Glad that you just put that in his head, too.
63 career catches for Noah. I think he's getting 65.
He's had 28 catches each of the last 2 years, and you think he will explode to 65. That's a hell of a
especially
prediction.
Especially early on.
How many drops has he had last year?
Like none.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So he's, he's been very reliable when they have gone his direction with the ball. So I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't say 65, but I wouldn't see, say, 50. Not
they play
50.
Seven, what do they play, 17 games? Buddy, come on. A couple.
Who those balls that he's catching are away from
him? Well, Rashee Rice, the first six games.
Okay.
They're going to need somebody to step up, give him four or five catches a game.
He's had one drop every year of his career, so
that's
pretty good.
Good,
right?
That's really good.
Yeah,
pickleball, man. I'm trying to tell you guys it translates. I don't know why you guys.
It doesn't translate to anything.
It does.
It doesn't.
It translates to fun.
Sure.
Hey, how did you? How was your fun pickleball Saturday?
Saturday.
What happened?
Afternoon.
Oh, Matt Holliday.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was good. It was good. We had some chirpers.
Did you?
Where did you play at?
Chicken and Pickle. We're playing for like 2 hours. The last like 30 minutes, Matt Holliday was in town for Jackson was playing this weekend against the Royals.
Right.
So Matt wants to play pickleball, so we get a court. We're playing. Last 30 minutes, these like kids, probably like 10 to 11 year old boys, all line up on the fence. And they didn't know who we were. I think we were just playing at a good level, pretty entertaining, screaming, whatever.
Got the good energy going.
Yeah, so they came and watched. They're like, we got next. I'm like, $500 a game. You guys can come on, blah, blah. So I already got these kids going a little bit. So we flipped sides, and then the two guys we were playing against like told the kids who Matt and I were. And they're looking, they're starting to really chirp now. Like, they're cheering against us. They're like, they say, 34 yards? 34 yards? They're like, how long did you play? And I'm like, 5 years. They all start dying laughing. I'm like, these little But
wow.
It's just, man, it's kids these days, no respect. Did you see the DK Metcalf video? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't, no.
DK Metcalf was working out of high school, it looked like, and like, all these like kids these days just feel like they can just say anything they want on social media.
That's the truth.
Yeah, so I guess DK was working out, and one of the kids was like saying Jalen Ramsey's his dad or something like that. So DK like goes up. He's like, what'd you say? And he says it again. He's like, what'd you say that for? He's like, for the phone. And I'm like, and then DK asks his name. He's like, good luck. And that's all he said. He walked away. These kids these days, man.
Man, they're getting crazy.
They better learn.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, guys, he did not keep his end of the bet.
Oh, didn't show up.
He didn't show up for the game?
The end of the month's not here, boys. Like, what do you guys talking about? It
practically is.
Well, there's no more, like...
Yeah, there's no more opportunities in the
summer. Oh, that's
coming
not
this
my
weekend?
Fault.
You coming this weekend?
I can come Sunday. Megan's Sunday? Back early Sunday.
There it is.
Well, I wanted you to be the 7-year game.
Oh, did you tell him I wrestled a Marine this weekend?
Yeah.
How'd that go for you?
No, I was actually shocked. I was thoroughly impressed. I was my buddy, he's on our podcast, Chris. Awesome dude.
It's like Sherm size, but like 20 pounds less, 30 pounds. Well, how much do you weigh?
Yeah, about probably 30 pounds less. And he was like, hey, you want to wrestle? He's like, you ever wrestle? And Gary's like, no, but like, yeah, I'm all about it. So, literally, I have a video I can show you. It's the middle of the night. We're outside on the grass, and those two were like, you want to do it right now? They're like, yeah. And I'm convinced Gehrig is going to get his bottom whooped. And he shoots on Gehrig. Gehrig, complete control. I'm like, I watched. It was 4-minute round. They just kept going. And I'm videoing the whole thing like, you know, hey, you guys are good. Like, it's over. Because you know, Jake, you know how it is. There's a certain point where things are going to escalate to
right.
We were having fun.
Right.
But now we're
off.
Actually going to be, now yeah. We're going to fight for real. And I thought we were there. And then they both get up, shake hands, kind of hang out, talk, hung out the rest of the night like they were best friends. But I'm like, I was convinced he was going to get rolled, hurt, something. And he held his own. And if honestly, I might have given him the round.
I for sure had the round.
I don't know.
Who was this?
He got any points.
He's a
my buddy.
Marine, like specialist, right?
Marine. Ex-Marine.
How much do you weigh?
He's like my size.
It was even like
205. I mean, yeah, Gehrig's got him by probably 6 inches.
Same height, though, weight class.
Same weight class, yeah, for sure.
He shot, we scrambled.
Yeah.
He had me for a second. I got out of it.
No, I was,
and then I had him.
No, listen, I was.
I had his back for a minute. I could have killed him if I wanted to, but
wow.
I don't know about that.
That doesn't seem accurate.
You were up to that point. You were good. After that, I don't know about that.
I shoved his head in the ground. I was feeling good.
Did you wrestle growing up?
Middle school.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now. He looked like he wrestled.
I didn't wrestle. I mean, I haven't wrestled since eighth grade. So.
Have you been getting in the MMA gym?
Not yet. I'm going to. I told Chris, the Marine, his name's Chris, I told him to come up because Sherman won't come up to the gym with me.
What's preventing you from going to the gym? You've been talking about this for a while.
Having time.
Just busy. Yeah, just super busy.
Or I thought it was because you're waiting for Sherman.
Nah, it'd be a lot more fun with somebody like, because the guys at the gym are 150 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, after seeing what I just did to that guy, I don't even want to match what I could do.
I don't know,
but
those guys might put, they might work you over.
Might choke you out.
There's a little bit, there's some different.
With the technique.
That could happen, but boys, I'm strong as an ox, man. But I was sore for 3 days.
If one of those guys gets your back, then, it's.
Yeah, it would be bad.
Be
but
ugly.
I think I can handle my own.
Sounds like you did.
After the weekend, I had.
You were impressed.
I drove home, and I'm like, bud, I'm.
You guys
I'm thoroughly impressed.
You guys thought I was confident before. Now I'm just walking around.
You look at him in a new light now.
You guys want to wrestle. I'll get down right now.
Yeah, I know.
Anybody.
Sure.
What would happen if you wrestled him?
I think the weight would be just a little bit of an issue.
Just the absolute power that you have would be too much for him.
I'd get tired after a minute.
But yeah. I mean,
the 4 minutes was way too long.
I mean, there was a point there. I'm like, this is escalating, and it's going to turn into
4 minutes is a
someone's
a long. Time.
And the thing is, he almost had him in a chokehold.
Yeah, rear naked choke.
And knowing Chris is he's Murray, so he's gonna get knocked out. He's gonna pass out,
because
he's not gonna tap.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, if this happens,
that's bad news.
Things are going to escalate. And I brought him down there with me, and he's my guest. And
right.
I'm like,
there's
25 high up military guys in there just watching. I'm like,
oh yeah, it was we had a whole
crew.
We were out there on the range, and those two were in the back just tussling.
What started it?
Nothing. Just those two meatheads.
It was on the podcast. We keep talking about Sherm's kids wrestling, and I think Sherm was saying something about me wrestling Chris, and then we were just talking about it back and forth, and then we were there, and I'm like, let's wrestle, and he's like, we were like, oh, maybe later. We were playing this shooting game on the range, and me and him both got out after a few rounds.
Shooting competition.
It's a game, so we get out after a few rounds. I'm like, man, let's just wrestle now. I was tired, so.
Oh, it. Yeah.
I got a couple of ideas floating out of my head right now.
What do you want?
Well, St. Pius, they're the defending state champion wrestling team.
Are they?
They're incredible.
I don't want to wrestle a high school kid.
It's an incredible program. Now there's some coaches and there's some, there's some.
There's some big kids. I don't want to mess with those guys.
I'd like to see it.
Yeah,
it
might be
there's a special guest.
I'd have to get, in. If I got in shape. I'd have to get
That's how you got some time.
You guys should see.
I mean, you went a 4 minute round.
I know, but I was dead tired. You should see me after. The adrenaline dumped, and then I'm just sitting there. I'm drinking water. I'm spitting. I'm like, God, I feel my chest hurts. Wake up the next day. My neck, my forearm, my finger still jammed. My forearm.
There
my
are
back.
Things that you don't realize, dude.
It's like when I went boxing for the first time. My whole back was lit up,
dude. Trust me, I totally understand what you're talking about. When I would spar the next day or the day after, things are hurt. You didn't even realize that's where you got hit or because the adrenaline's flowing.
Yeah.
And then you wake up and you feel like you should be in the hospital.
Yeah.
And even back when I used to wrestle in high school, same thing. It's you use muscles you didn't realize you had. 4 minutes to, that's a marathon.
Yeah, we're going hard for 2.5 minutes. And then the last minute and a half, I was just on top of him. And I'm like, I'm not doing anything because I forgot all my good moves. And I'm just just trying to hold him. Yeah. I'm like, we get to and I see everybody's stop looking.
Yeah,
like,
so we're everyone like, just we're like, it was,
after 3 minutes, the interest was pretty high the first few minutes. And then I look over and everybody's still shooting.
And I'm trying to, I got the extra mags in my hand and I'm like, here, I'm going to film this in case something happens.
Right.
I'm like, Chris, I was like, I think we're good. He's like, no. I was like, I'm good. I'm good. I'm happy. I feel good. And I just shook his hand. I feel good now.
He's going to want a rematch.
No question.
Of all the guys that you played with, that you both played with, who would have been the toughest guy to wrestle?
Allegretti.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Beast.
Yeah. I mean, he did it at a high level.
Allegretti would be tough just because of his background. Who?
Not background, though.
Not yeah. background?
Just because he's a tough guy.
I feel like Nick Bolton would be tough.
Nick Bolton's a tough guy. That's
Nick
right.
would be tough. You never went against him, right?
No.
Who's the tough, like, who's just like the tough guy? Who's the toughest guy that you were around as far as your teammates?
I'm trying to think of...
Like, just in any walk of life, like, I'm not crossing that guy. I don't need that.
You're walking in a dark alley. Who do you want?
Who do you want with you besides Gary?
Oh, I'm taking Alan Bailey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I'm taking... I've already thought of that. That was not even a question. Dude. I'm trying to think of the... There was a linebacker.
His body was like a cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
He looked like a superhero or supervillain, whatever. It's like it looked like somebody drew him.
A linebacker?
Yeah, May.
When I was here?
No, I don't know if you were here. But I'm gonna think about it. I think we have to take a break.
Think about that. Well, you know what? It's just breaks are just a suggestion.
Who would you take? Who would you take from the studio?
For what?
No, not you, Steven.
Who would I take from the? What do you mean?
Outside of you guys.
In a dark alley with you from the studio? Oh.
And you can't pick each other.
I don't think there's anyone else. Yeah, right.
I don't want any of these guys with me in a dark.
I mean,
I'm better off on my own, to be honest with you.
Because
if I'm with one of these guys, then I got to worry about them and protect them. I'm solo.
That's terrible.
Is it bad to say that?
It's terrible.
I don't worry about myself.
We'll see.
I have my own back.
Can you have weapons?
What?
Do you have weapons with you?
I would have one.
That new sales guy, Zach, he's kind of built.
I might take him.
I might take him.
Boddicker could be mean, yeah.
I mean, are we talking about guests, too?
Chidea.
Yeah.
I'll take Chidea.
Chidea, yeah.
He had my back.
That could work.
If you're just talking about people who work here.
Good luck, boys.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? If Grunhardt got his hands on you,
he would rip you apart. Yeah.
Yeah.
They'd tear you and have like a phone book.
You think he still got it?
Oh, yeah.
If he got his hands on you, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's got grips on you,
it's good night. Good night, Irene.
It's like the mountain.
I think Sherm's taking him. I think Sherm's taking him all day.
Unbelievable. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHP. So the former teammate that you were trying to think of, Sherm, was Joe Mays, linebacker, who was with the Chiefs in 2014.
I'm taking him into a back alley with me.
What'd he do to you when he played for Houston?
Oh, no. His whole goal, the ball could be, you know, three yards away, and his whole goal was to come downhill and hit and blow up the fullback. He did his job. I'll tell you that. We had a lot of, I mean, we were the same height, weight, almost identical. So it was a lot of fun when he got here because we used to talk about those days back when he played in Houston and stuff. So it was good.
5'11", 245.
Sherm size right now.
I remember interviewing him when they signed because he played for Denver for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Did you like him?
Well. Yeah, he was actually a good interview because he talked about the rivalry between the Broncos and the Chiefs and coming over to play for the Chiefs. And so, yeah, he was I remember talking to him up at training camp. So.
Yeah, it was – I mean, I feel like all my teammates with the Chiefs have been great dudes, all of them.
All of them?
I haven't found any issues with any of them, meaning, like, me personally with any guys.
You sign off on that, Gary Dieter?
I'm just trying to think of somebody. Hold on.
Like, put it this way. Even Marcus Peters, like...
I liked him a lot.
That's what I'm saying. I liked him.
We had great
conversations. To me, he was a good teammate. Now, to everyone else, I don't know, but...
I had no issue.
Dave Tobe love him?
Maybe.
I'm just asking a question.
Some days.
Did he love to ride the bus with him?
Yeah.
He did?
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
He loved it. Always got him right on his toes.
Do you remember when he took his shoes off?
Yes. I talked to him in the, like...
What was going... What happened
that's
there?
In New York, right?
New York. He thought he got ejected. So he picked up the flag and threw it. That was what he thought he got ejected for. He never got ejected. Just the
right.
penalty.
Just walked
started
off.
Started taking... Just... Right to the tunnel, going in, take his cleats off.
That's wild.
I talked to him after the game, like out in the like family section, and he was like, "You know, hey, I love being your teammate." And I'm like, "Hey, it happens, man. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe we keep our shoes on, figure it out." But it was wild. He hucked that thing about 15 rows into the stands.
When was that? I was here.
I don't think so. I don't know the year. Everything starts to just blend together year-wise. We were in New York. We went back. That was the second time that year we were in New York, right?
Yeah, that was my first year.
Oh, is that another year?
Yeah, that's it. Because Kelsey threw the interception.
No, different game.
Oh, I'm saying the other
different
game
year, I think.
Oh, maybe I wasn't here then. I don't know.
You got a PI call on him. He thought it was
junk. I thought
junk.
I was here for that.
He picked up the flag, threw it into the stands, and then he thought because he did that he was going to get thrown out. So he just started walking right down their sideline, right into the tunnel. Schaaf comes running off the our sideline to go get him in the tunnel.
And nothing?
He didn't know. It was just a personal foul or whatever they would call. And he wasn't kicked out of the game, but he went in the locker room for the last – Four or five minutes.
Yeah, that ref never saw his flag again.
The Chiefs jumped out to a 14-0 lead against the Jets. So this would have been in December of 2017.
Yeah, I was here.
Were you? Right?
Yeah. I went against him every day.
Yeah, yeah, December 3rd, 2017. And said, the Jets battle back, take the lead in the fourth quarter. Thanks in part to a series of penalties called against the Chiefs. The two-point conversion attempt, which would have taken them to a 38-31 lead, appeared to have failed until an official threw a flag for defensive holding. That prompted Marcus Peters to pick up the flag and hurl it into the crowd to the delight of one fan that caught it. Peters then walked off the field and into the tunnel before officials could eject him. Except it turned out Peters had not been ejected. He soon returned to the field with no socks, and it appeared that he had thrown his gloves away, too. So,
yeah, I remember that.
There's the
hey.
Kick back, chill, and relax.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Listen, I might have been a fan of him just because I got to play one defensive snap because of him.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. Tyreek Hill cleats right there.
He just didn't. He
you
didn't
played one defensive snap?
Yeah.
You did?
Know what happened?
Yeah. In the NFL. Against the Chargers. San Diego Chargers. We were blowing him out. End of the game, Coach Reed started taking out some of the defensive backs, you know, putting the subs in. And we didn't have enough guys. Like, you only have so many guys to take out. He wanted to come out. He was mad that he wasn't coming out. So, Coach Reed, I was standing next to Coach Reed watching the end of the game. And he looks at me and goes, "You want to go play safety?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "All right, go."
Were they kneeing the ball?
No. They ran a run up the middle. I just J-O-P, baby, jump on pile.
You get a tackle?
I was deep, playing deep.
You get a tackle?
No. I mean, I was dropped off the ground. I'll give myself a half tackle, whatever it is.
We'll take a break back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Sherm was asking me about Mizzou recruiting, and yesterday was another big day for them. They got, at least by some people's opinion, the top tackle in the transfer portal, the all-AAC first-team left tackle from SMU, Marcus Bryant, goes to Mizzou. They beat out Washington for his services. He's a senior, has 1 year left to play, 6'8", 318-pound left tackle. He started 29 games over four seasons with the Mustangs, primarily at left tackle. All AAC first-team selection during 2023 and allowed just one sack for the season. And so he has committed to Mizzou. That's literally a big commitment, a big get, and a huge addition to their offensive line. Boom, Gary Dieter.
You dishing out the money for those guys?
Oh, yeah. I saw some people from Washington bitching, which is, you know what, just tell it like it is. We got outbid.
So
we got outbid by Mizzou. That's fine.
If Coach Fritz came up to you, are you giving up some money?
That's not
Coach Fritz.
What's he doing? Eli Drinkwitz?
Coach Fritz is a Mizzou guy, isn't he?
Coach Fritz.
Never heard of him.
One of Dave's buddies, I guess.
Coach Fritz is a legendary high school basketball coach in the area.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right. I'm talking about Eli Drinkwitz. I'd have a
Drinkwitz,
Eli.
Fritz.
Let's go.
So are you going to? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if he came up to you and was like,
We need you to dish up some money for NIL.
They got bigger fishes to fry than me. I got
you. Same, though. I'm talking about like Willie Fritz from Houston.
Right. Willie. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, listen. Zoo's on the up and up right
now.
That's
right. Get on the bandwagon now. You want to get a bandwagon? Get on the Mizzou football bandwagon.
It's going to be long.
We'll go to Alabama. Let's go.
Long day for you when you go down to Tuscaloosa, buddy.
What do you think?
Are you sure that guy's going to keep it rolling? I'm just asking. I don't know.
Yes. I think he's walked in there. He hasn't changed much. I think he's put his spin on everything, and it seems like everything's going right. So I'm excited to
see. Looks like they're more like...
They're relaxed. It's not
more about social media and getting this Willie guy on there than anything else.
I've tried to get you to go to the game. You don't want to go. We could have a great time there.
I don't know what I'm doing in 5 months.
They're going to Mizzou, Alabama.
I don't give a piss about nothing but the Tide, baby. I don't give a piss about nothing but the Tide.
You can do a podcast with your Willie on it.
And I love Willie to death.
Yeah, right. I
don't give a shit about piss but the Tide.
Go get him, Tide. Go take him down.
We're going to do a whole week of shows leading up to Mizzou, Alabama.
He's a massive recruiter. Like, that dude flipped one of the best receivers in the country to Bama this year.
Sherm, how about these Royals last night? They beat the Blue Jays 3-2. Alec Marsh was terrific, and then he got hit by a line drive.
Got rocked.
And we're thinking, oh, no. This kid has been so good to start off the season. He left the game with one out in the fifth inning after taking a line drive off his right forearm. But x-rays were negative, and he said he's going to be good to go, although there is a nasty bruise and the imprint of the baseball on his arm. But when you get hit like that, you're thinking, oh, no, don't tell me he broke a bone after being so good the first month of the season. But he's all right. And then the Royals win, and Bobby Witt Jr. is a superstar. Gary Dieter wishes Bobby Witt Jr. played for the Yankees, but he don't. He's a Royal.
I like
it's
Anthony
like NWO. Royals for life.
We'll ask Buster about that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we can.
How about them Royals?
Hey.
Huh? You like it, don't you?
Oh, I do. I do. I like having good baseball in town. I can't watch it. But
you haven't been to one game.
I can't watch it. But
you can't watch
I'd
it.
I'd like to throw the Royals on every night, but not
you haven't
can't
been
do
to
that.
A game yet.
No, I haven't been to a game yet. I got enough.
You guys
stuff
are
gonna
going
to
be a part
on.
Of the Border Patrol outing we're putting together?
When is it?
Never heard of it.
I'm informing you right now.
It's his job to tell all of us.
What are we doing?
People.
We're
going to
get a big crew. We're going to get a bunch of tickets together. We're going to go sit out and watch the game.
Can we sit in the outfield?
Sure, we can.
Like guests from the show, we're all going to get Boniker, Grunhardt, all this.
Border Patrol crew.
Hopefully, I can make it. Yeah.
Well, we'll work around your schedule. We'll make it happen.
Dates so
all right, yeah,
can
coordinate dates with me. Yeah, well, I'll be there.
We'll try to do something where it's like a weekday, like afternoon. Like today's a 1:10 game.
Yeah.
Like a weekday afternoon.
Like a businessman special.
So it doesn't interfere with your kids' baseball schedule. Try to get
baseball,
out there.
Baseball, yeah. Just the wife's going to be done with softball.
I'll wear a suit.
And we're going to have a big tailgate, have him wrestle some people out in the parking lot.
Oh,
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, yeah.
Looking like June, where it's not too hot yet, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm in.
Just work with the Iceman. He'll make it happen.
Iceman, I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm going.
It's going to be a crew.
That's going to be a day right there, boys.
We'll work with our friends for tickets for less. We'll get make it all. Everything will come together.
I want to sit right next to Fallon.
Well.
But we'll get you a ticket over there. You'll have to sit with us.
We'll all be someplace else. Gary will be over there in the fountain.
By the fountain.
The Royals win last night 3-2, and Alec Marsh is okay. So good news all the way around. We'll talk to Buster only after this on WHB.